the door. We're glad to have y'all here this morning. Y'all please stand. Open up with a nice hand clapping worship song. See all you people smiling because I know you saw the light too.
Amen.
Amen. What a great day that was. We all bow your heads. We open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that you came to us. You showed us that light. You showed us that way. You called us unto you, God. And I thank you that we heeded that call and we came unto you, God. Our Lord, I thank you and praise you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for our praise and worship this morning. I ask your anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon us as we sing these lyrics, as we sing these songs, God, and we praise and honor you this morning, Lord. And speak powerfully through our pastors this morning, through the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, the words that he has for us from your holy word. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah,
Oh, I have days I lose the fight. I try my best, I just don't get it right. Did you guys do good this week? I don't know about me. Where I talk the talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with the hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with the hand that I could have held. I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like. Tell you guys, this has got to be my theme song, because every time I had this experience last night, well, I think I shared this in Wednesday night class here a few weeks ago. I asked God for a do-over. He gave me one, and guess what happened? I messed it up again. So when I messed up again the other day, I looked at my wife and I told her, I am not asking God for another do-over. So I gotta tell you, this is my theme song. But I know one thing: as much as I'm not faithful, God is faithful. Amen. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come,
have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night will last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Dream I had, I felt like God was talking to me. He says, you got two hands. In one hand, I want you to think about your praise to me. And then in the other hand, I want you to think about your prayers to me. They go together, praise and prayer. And that's what this set is today. It's about praise and prayer. This is one of the most powerful praise songs about, to me, that I think that we do. First song is my prayer. This song is my praise. Amen.
To be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Shake before him, the demons run in fear at the mention of the name King of Majesty. There is no power in hell for any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great.
Great I am. power, no one equal majesty. Lord, you are above all. And Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. We thank you for being in our lives. We thank you for leading and guiding us into the path of righteousness and truth. So, Lord, we just want to sing out that you are the great I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. So, Father, we lift this praise to you. You are so worthy. And, Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for the privilege to come into this house freely and to worship you. And so, Father, today as we come and worship, we pray that you are pleased with this worship, that it is gratifying to you. It's not about us being gratified. It's about you being gratified. So, Lord, we pray that it is gratifying to you from your people. And, Lord, as we come now to the part of giving of back and our tithes and our offerings of what you first given to us, let us continue to worship you in the same power, in the same way that we will give back to you as generously as you've given to us. So, Father, we want to be worthy of your worship. We want you to be glorified. So, Lord, we just lift you up. And, Father, as I come to the preaching of your word, as always, if I'm not the right one to preach this word, that you would silence my lips and you would rise up the one to preach it. Please do not allow me to say something that is not true or correct according to your word. If that is, please silence my lips. And if I'm not the one to speak, rise up the one, Lord. And for why? Not for my glory, but for yours. We love you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Appreciate that. I don't know about you, but this has bothered me because it's off. You too? Thank you. I thought it was just me. I'm being obsessive compulsive. You went right to the top of the favorite list. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Romans. Chapter 14, and Derek, it's nice to see you. I'm glad that you could make it, brother. Derek is in the back, Derek McMasters. These two, well, all the McMasters men are in the military, and they're both home on leave today. So we want to thank you both for your service. Appreciate you. All right. There is a wedding today. Travis, who's getting married today? Megan's getting married today? Okay. All right. All right. Let's just check in. All right. You got your Bibles open there, Romans 14. Now, let me tell you, before we get started, this is going to be a difficult passage to preach. And it's a difficult passage also to hear. So I'm just fair warning you, all right? It's one of these things that we don't generally ever talk about in the church. And that is this. It is the immature believer and the mature believer. The stronger brother and the weaker brother. But let me show you a filter through which you should read the entire 14th chapter. And that's chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Where it says, As for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Very important. One person believes he may eat everything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Now, may the Lord add his reading to the blessing to the reading. Now, that's a great verse to think about as we go through the 14th chapter. Now, there's a lot here, and it will probably take us a couple of weeks to get through it. And just to set it up, let me tell you a story on this. In the late 1800s, the two greatest preachers probably in the world at that time, and I agree with this, the two greatest preachers probably in the world at that time were Charles Hayden Spurgeon. Anybody ever hear that guy? Charles Hayden Spurgeon. Anybody that does any Bible study or teaches a class has heard of this guy. Charles Hayden Spurgeon and Joseph Parker. And they were in London, right, where they Spurgeon built the Metropolitan Tabernacle, a 10,000-seat auditorium. So a very, very large tabernacle, right, auditorium. And Joseph Parker renovated redid the city temple. And the churches were not far apart from each other. They were fairly in close in proximity. Well, they begin to write each other, these two preachers, they begin to write each other, and they entered into a very unique relationship between two tremendously powerful preachers. In fact, they were considered to be the greatest preachers of the English language since the Apostle Paul, and really down really to our day, honestly, to our very day that we're in. So these two built this great relationship, this great friendship, and Spurgeon would go and preach at Parker's pulpit, and Parker would come over, and he would preach in Spurgeon's pulpit, and both of them got to preach to some of the greatest people. I mean, in fact, there were times when the prime minister would visit one or the other's churches, and then the same thing with the queen. Queen Victoria would visit one or the other churches. Both men, at one point, came to a place where they found something. However, these two men came to a place where they found something in each other that they just could not take. Something that just irritated them with each other. And it ended their friendship. Two powerful brothers. Spurgeon disdained the fact that Joseph Parker went to the theater. That was Spurgeon's problem with Parker. He went to the theater. And Parker disdained the fact that Charles Spurgeon smoked cigars. Now Spurgeon, in response to that, said, "I don't smoke in excess. I don't smoke two at a time." Right? But you have two great preachers in the world at that time arguing and disputing one another over not a doctrinal issue. Now watch this. Wasn't over a doctrinal issue, and it was not an issue of morality. But it was a secondary issue that broke that relationship and their friendship, right? It broke the relationship and their friendship, and that's what Paul is talking about in our text today. It's the very thing that he's talking about. He is going to talk about the stronger brother and the weaker brother. Now, when he speaks of the stronger, he's speaking to the mature believer. When he's speaking of the stronger, he's speaking to the mature believer. And when he speaks of the younger, he's really speaking of those who have not grown into maturity as much yet, right? But he comes and he says this, welcome him. Notice what it says, welcome him. Don't condemn him, but welcome him. Now, when he speaks to the weak brother, he is not speaking of weakness in character. I want you to get that. When he's speaking about the weak brother, he's not speaking of the weakness in character. Listen to me. The strong, mature believer and the weak, immature believer, they're both saved. They're both saved. They know the Lord Jesus Christ, so it's not a weakness of character. It's a weakness in assurance, right? It's a weakness in assurance of what their faith will allow and what my faith will not allow. To where I am to keep this rule and to do this thing and keep that rule and to do this thing, or not to do that thing and not to do this other thing over here. Now understand that What I just saying, I am to keep this rule and to do this thing. I'm not to do that thing and not to do this other. When that is talking about that, it's generally talking about the weaker brother. And we will look at that as we move through this. And by the way, I'm going to take a lot of time this morning just setting up the background of this passage, because you'll get lost if I don't do that. So Paul comes and in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, where he says, as for the one who is weak in faith. Now, here's the scenario. You've got the issue of eating meat. It's the same issue that you come across in 1 Corinthians, but I won't go to that passage, but there's enough right here to deal with, right? But it's the same thing there. So there were those who would eat meat that had been offered to idols. And then there were others who said, no, we cannot eat that meat. And we don't have, listen, now we don't have that issue in our day today. And if we do, it's very isolated, okay? But I'm going to give you some things that we do have issue with in our day. But before I do that, I want to back up once again, and I want you to understand what I'm speaking about, or what the chapter is speaking about. It is not speaking about issues of failed morality. We know that the Word of God tells, we know what the Word of God tells us to do and not to do when it comes to morality, right? We are all very aware of that. His Word is clear on that, in the words of morality. We know that according to God's Word, that God created man and woman, and that He created man and woman, one man, one woman, to be married for life. He created it that way, and sex is to be encountered inside the bonds of marriage of one man and one woman only. And let me be clear, we are not in agreement biblically with the issues of homosexuality, transgenderism, or homosexual type of marriages. But we are to love them, we are to care for them, we are to be the light bearers to them. We, by no means do we cast them away or push them out. We are to love them. But listen, we hold up the standard of one man, one woman for life. Now understand, it's not an issue of adultery. It's not an issue of fornication or two people living together as husband and wife. It's not an issue of drunkenness. It's not an issue of jealousy and anger, right? It's not that. These are not the issues in chapter 14. It's not the issue of holding up, it's not an issue of me going down and holding up West Banco. It's not an issue of murdering somebody. In fact, there are no moral issues covered in chapter 14 at all. Nor are there doctrinal issues covered at all. And praise God for that. Praise God, and I'm just saying for that, but praise God, in the 20 plus years that I've pastored here, we have not had a doctrinal issue. Meaning this, and you can amen some of these, don't be afraid, we won't come after you. We all believe in the virgin birth. We all believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We all believe in the Trinity, meaning we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. We believe that Jesus Christ is fully man and fully God. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, died on the cross for forgiveness of our sins, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and He will return again. Amen? We have no issue with all the Scripture, with inerrancy or infallibility of Scripture. We believe that the Word of God is true and is truth from beginning to end. Right, and we do not have any issue with the whole of the doctrine of eschatology. What is eschatology? It is it's end times. Eschatology is end times. We have no problem with the doctrine of end times. We may be in different places. Me and brother had a talk with Don the other night about that after Bible study, didn't we? We may be in a different place with regards to eschatology, end times. But we all believe Jesus is coming back. Amen. Listen, I don't care. I believe in pre-trib. My wife believes in mid-trib. let's just say Mike believes in post-trib and Kevin believes there's no trib. There's one thing that we can all say to one another. We'll see you in heaven. Right? So we believe in eschatology. We can all come to agreement. So there are no doctrinal issues covered in chapter 14. However, these are what we're going to deal with today. These are all secondary or third level issues that we are really dealing with, right? Not doctrines of the faith. They're like secondary or third issues, right? And what Paul is doing is this. He is saying that since we have been transformed by the renewing of our, in other words, we have been transformed because of the grace of God in us, right? Right? Remember that? It is changing us from the inside out. It's not just through external decorations that make us look different. Meaning this, if I come up here wearing a robe, it doesn't make me more holy, right? If I have a robe on, right? And listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. The reason I wear a suit is not because of me, because if it's up to me, I would not wear a suit. You want to know why I wear a suit? Because there's a few people in this auditorium that think that the pastor should wear a suit. Right? And I see some people laughing. Yep. But you know what? That's not a hill for me to die on. But a robe, putting on a priest robe, doesn't make me change me, right? It doesn't change who I am. Wearing a cross necklace, right, doesn't mean that you're a Christian. And having a Bible doesn't make you a believer. Right? We don't keep certain rituals just to show that we are Christians. We show that we are Christians by what? What Paul has said through chapter 12, in chapter 13, and now in chapter 14. We show that we are Christians by how we love who? One another, right? So now he's going to come and he's going to deal with this. What do the stronger ones in the faith in the church do with the weaker ones in the faith in the church? And let me give you some illustrations here. Here's a simple illustration. How do you feel about somebody wearing a ball cap during worship? Nobody has an opinion? Even my Harley hat. See all these opinions, right? Well, you say, man, I just don't like that. I think that's disrespectful. I think that's wrong, right? Well, okay. That's your opinion. Show it to me in Scripture. Show it to me. Pull it out. Whip it out. I want you to read it. Stop being in the middle. Show it to me. Read it to me. Thou shalt not wear a hat in worship service. Now, you may think it's inappropriate, disrespectful, whatever, but there is nothing in the Word that says you can't wear a hat in worship. You want to know why that is? You can't find it? Because it's man's law, not God's law. That's man's opinion, not God. Listen, last week I told you we went to this church down in Milton and on a mission trip, and I said, who all here went on that mission trip? And a bunch of us in this here raised their hand, and I said, if we were to live close to there, who all would go to there? And all of you kept your hands up. Do you know that pastor who preached at our picnic last year, do you know he preaches every Sunday morning in blue jeans and a t-shirt with a hat? Huh? And tattoos. You know what the Word does say about hats? Did you know that the Word does say something about hats? Anybody want to guess what it is? First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 through 15, that women are to wear hats. Not a one of you women have a hat on today. mess up your hair. What do you think about my hair? Yeah, I got a wedding, right? It says that women are, listen, that's a whole other issue. I'm not dealing with that this morning, just thank God, all right? But you're getting what my point is here, right? You're getting my point? So what if I showed up next Sunday and I had a, what if I showed up next Sunday morning and I had a diamond-studded earring in my ear? I expect that out of an old man. What's that? Yeah, it's right here. Yeah, right? So, better yet, what if I showed up with a nose ring? Y'all should thank Travis right now. You really should. You really should thank him right now. Because what if I showed up next week with my hair dyed purple? The only reason it's not dyed purple today is because I have a wedding. All right, let me give you one. I got your attention, right? I'm not laughing so much now. Let me give you one that's a little more personal. This might get a little bit edgy here. What if tomorrow morning I call all the women who serve in this church, I call them in here into this auditorium tomorrow, all you women, and I say to all you member women members, I've talked to somebody about membership today, they probably won't do it now. If I call you in here to this auditorium and I say, no more pants. You cannot wear pants anymore. You're going to wear dresses to work and to church. From now on, you're going to wear dresses to work and church. And by the way, no open-toed shoes or sandals either. Oh, not funny anymore, huh? But do you know that in our day and age, there are churches that feel this way and operate that way today? How do you feel about hats now? Now, what would you do about movies or theaters? You know, I've heard of churches that make their leadership sign a contract saying they would not watch movies. Let me ask you something. Is that a biblical doctrine? Or is that man's opinion? It depends on what the movie is, right? Okay, so let me get to the one that you're waiting on. All you're waiting on this one. I'm not going to deal with it, but I'm going to bring it up as an illustration. What if I'm out at a restaurant eating some nice Italian food? Oh, I lost my earring. Shucks, I thought you'd never hear your pastor say that, did you? You never thought you'd hear your pastor say that, would you? What if I was out at a nice Italian restaurant? Eating some Italian food and I order a glass of wine. Let me ask you, what's the Word of God say about this? Well, I can tell you what it certainly does not say. It doesn't say that I can't have a glass of wine, but it does. It very well does tell me that I am not to become a drunkard. Listen, there's a huge difference in that. A big, huge difference in that. But here is also something to think about. When you're thinking about these things, you're to think about your witness. What would you think of me if you walked into a restaurant and saw me drinking a beer? Really, what would you think? If you all walked into the restaurant and you see me, I was up for Manny Brothers having dinner and I got a glass of beer sitting in front of me, what would you think? You would think nothing? That's actually very interesting, John. Why would you think nothing? But there's something a little bit deeper than that, John. You know me. You know who I am. Also think about your witness. Yes, don't be a stumbling block. Now, some people come in that restaurant, and the only ones that would know would be the person that knows me. 9 times out of 10, the person walking by me, whether they're lost or saved, don't know whether I'm lost or saved. But you would judge me. Not just me, but you would judge anybody that you've seen sitting here on a regular basis if you've seen him drinking a beer. I can remember I walked into Mario's restaurant one time, and I walked in, and these people see me, and you've seen this look came over their face. And I walked through, and I seen her slide her beer over to her, towards her husband. And I kind of giggled, and I looked at Donna, and I said, watch this. It's like God set the whole thing up, right? And I walked up, and I said, hey, guys, how you doing? We're doing okay. We're just come out for a quick dinner and this and that. And, you know, we were this and that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, whoa. I said, you got some beers here, huh? And they're like, well, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I just started to walk away, and I turned back. I said, listen, if you need some good money to buy some good beer, let me know, because this, that's crap. And you know why I did that? I knew them. I knew who they were. Now, if I was picking them up off the parking lot, this would be a different conversation. You get me? But you would judge me, wouldn't you? Would you say, well, I think it's all right, preacher, like you would? No, you don't. You wouldn't think that. I know. I'm just kind of. Even though it wouldn't be wrong for me, according to God's word, you would judge me. So what do you do? What do you do? Because I've already told you a glass of wine isn't going to send you to hell. You know what sends you to hell? Not believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So what do you do with all this? Listen, truthfully, it's just one of those areas you have to discern for yourself. When is it proper and when is it not? Maturity. When is it proper? When is it not? Know your audience. Now, listen, I'm not done yet. What about music? Oh, we're going to pick on the musicians here for a minute. What about music? What about electric guitars like Cynthia up there plays? Huh? How about those electronic drums right there? Boom, 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 right? All this other stuff, right? What about all this? You know that there are some churches that believe that no instruments should be in church at all, and they try to back it up biblically. No instruments of any kind at all. And they look at us, bunch of heretics. And they think they're right. You know these churches exist in our communities to this day? Well, I'm just going to settle this for you. I, for one, am thankful that we have all of this and all the people that have the talent to do it. Or how about this? Some people think that we shouldn't sing anything but what is in the hymn book. I don't like those hymns. I don't know why they got to sing that other stuff. Listen, it's not about you. It's about Him, yes. It's about Him being glorified, not about you being glorified. It's about Him being glorified. It's not how we sing, it's about what we sing. In other words, it's not the tempo of the music, it's about the words that come out of us to lift it to God. Why? Because we are lifting our praise. I pray that you're glorified by what you've heard today. Now, I love the hymns. Listen, I'm not trashing hymns. You know, every time I can't get over this because I can remember when we first transferred into this, Rod and Gene Adams were dead against it. They did not want this to happen. And what did Gene end up doing before it was all over, Mike? While you were practicing every Sunday morning, she'd be here before they were here, and she'd be in that front pew, and she'd sit here all through Sunday school listening to them practice. She learned it wasn't about her. You know what it comes to the hymns and to music, all this music, this praise music? Mike, I approached Mike from the very beginning when he thankfully took this over, and I said, Mike, I just want to be sure that all the music that you sing is scriptural, theologically correct, and glorifies God. Well, that new stuff, it's not got the Spirit of God in it. It's not inspired by God. Them old-time hymns, they're the ones that are inspired by God. I will enter His courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. If you tell me that's not inspired, you can leave. That's straight out of Scripture. Boy, Pastor, being a little tough. Now, I understand that you like hymns only, but the other 100 people in here like praise music too. Listen, here's the truth in that. Ask yourself this: does it glorify God? Right? So we've all got these issues. This is what I'm trying to say. We've all got these issues and then some. Amen? And they aren't doctrinal issues. They're not morality issues. They are what we call legalism. They are ours, right? These are things that we come. They are our laws, not God's laws, because God has freed us from the law. Amen? Now listen, I've just got to say, you're all unusually quiet this morning right now. Hopefully I still have a position when I get done here. Well, Paul got a church now in Rome. He's talking to the church in Rome, and really there were multiple churches in Rome, and they had two groups of people. They had Jews that came out of a very legalistic background, and then they came, and then they had Gentiles that had come out of all this paganism, false worship, worshiping false gods, paganism, and what was wrapped up with all of that. And Paul comes in this chapter, and what he is saying is this: our transformation, right, our being saved, our transformation should grow in us a grace. We were saved by this transformation should grow in us a grace that will be gracious towards my brothers and sisters, even in disagreement. Listen, these are not my words. These are God's words, right? Even in disagreement on things of different opinions that are not doctrinal. Now, that's the thesis statement here. Now, let me give you the overarching point this morning. And this is the theme of chapter 14, is that you should be gracious enough to handle each other, the weak and the strong. We should handle each other with care. Now, let me give you the problem that's defined here, because it is a little difficult to work through, and it's the issue of eating meat offered to idols. They knew there were those who knew that idols were nothing. Idols are false gods, right? They're idols. They're false gods. They were meaningless in and of themselves. There was no value to it. There was nothing to it. And by the way, let me tell you, the Jews honestly did not have a problem with that we see in the New Testament. They only wanted you to cook your meat long enough. They didn't want to see the blood on your plate or it mooing. If you can't take that, don't go to dinner with him. Now, do you remember when Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem from Antioch? And the issue was they wanted to know if the Gentile could be saved like the Jew was being saved. Or did the Gentile have to become a Jew first? They had to become a Jew first so they could be saved. So they go up to Jerusalem in Acts 15, where Jesus, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, leads the Jerusalem council, and the other apostles are there as well. And they go up and they say, listen, this is what God has led us to believe. What we understand is that all people are saved just alike. But could we give you one little hint on how to get along with your Jewish brothers? Just cook your meat a little bit longer. Now, we don't like to see all that blood, right? That's what they're saying. Now, pay attention. Here, pay attention. I'm going to bring it all together. Pay attention. And that had nothing to do, right? None of this had to do with salvation. None of this had to do with anything of salvation. Now, listen to me closely. And remember all those illustrations that I gave you just a few minutes ago. We don't like seeing all that blood. That was just James saying, could you be considerate of the Jews that are in the fellowship with you? Can you be considerate? That you should be gracious with others who differ in your opinion on different maturity levels. I'm going to quote Hillary Clinton. Take the high road. Take the high road. And so it was not the issue there of offering the meat to idols. So maybe it was the Gentiles had that issue with this, right? But here is a Gentile who comes in and you say, hey man, welcome to the house. We're glad that you're here. If you won't accept them, they will. They will. We're glad that you're here. You know, we got a T-bone here tonight for dinner for everybody. I got a great price on it down there at the butcher shop. It had been offered up, you know, it had been offered up to Athena, and man, we are just going to have a good time tonight. So come on in, let's eat, guys. And you've got a Gentile who comes and says, no, 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 no. I used to go to the Temple of Athena. I know what happened in the Temple of Athena. I was involved in what happened there. God saved me from that. God saved me from that in Jesus Christ, and I can't eat that because it's just too difficult for me. Listen to me. I believe it's wrong for me to eat that steak because it was offered up to Athena, and he struggles with that. He's got an issue with it. He struggles with that from his past, right? He got an issue with that from his past, just like an alcoholic would tell you. I know I could go get a Coke or ginger ale in there at the bar. I know I can go in there and drink Coke or ginger ale, but it's just too tough for me to go in that place. It's not the right atmosphere for me. I struggle with this. It's too wicked for me to go in there. It's too much of a personal struggle for me to go there. Now, any of you that struggle with addictions know exactly what I'm saying here. So that's the situation that you've got going on here. And the other situation is back the other way, because if you look at verse 5, look what it says. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Paul says this. Paul says, here are the Jews, and they grew up observing Passover, and they just can't get away from it. It's not that they believe that Passover will save them. They don't believe that. They know that they have been saved by grace through Jesus Christ, right? But they just love by tradition, they just love to go back and relive and experience out of the history of the Jews all the history of their forefathers. That's the way my daddy did it. That's what my daddy said. That's what my mama said. And so they will take the, and so they will, now they, these Jews, they'll come and they'll take the day off and they will keep the Passover and they will eat roasted lamb and unleavened bread and all that stuff, right? And here's a Gentile over here saying, what in the world are they doing? Why are they even observing the day or the practices of that day? It's not relevant anymore. It's been done away. So I'm going to work. I'm not staying home just because they think it's something sacred about the day. I'm going to work and I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, right? And they can have the day, and that's the issue. That's what's going on in our text today. Now, let me just say something here. In the beginning of all of this, that there is a little bit of weakness in every mature believer. There's a little bit of weakness in every mature believer. And there's a little bit of maturity in every immature believer. So the problem is we are all a little messed up. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. But truthfully, we all are a little messed up, especially when it comes with how do I deal with my brother and sister in Jesus Christ? How do I handle them? How do I care for them? So what am I supposed to do in the midst of this? You're sitting back here and you're looking back at me and you're saying, what am I supposed to do in the midst of all this, preacher? How am I supposed to handle this? What am I supposed to do, preacher? I've never really thought about all of this before. You're bringing up a lot of stuff here, Pastor. Well, let me give you three things and then I will wrap it up, all right? Number one, I want you to understand we are to handle each other with care because of point number one. God accepts all of his children. Steve, God accepts you today just as you are as a born-again believer. And he does me too with my hat on. Anybody want to say that I'm not saved because I'm wearing a hat here today? Anybody want to say it? God accepts all of his children, the strong and the weak, the mature and the immature. Now, let me read to you beginning. Listen, I got to take this off because I'm sweating. Steve's giving me the ooey eye down here. Now let me read to you beginning in verse 2. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Don't despise me, because I don't do what you think I should, in your opinion. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Now I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to go back through that because I want you to see what's going on. Because you want to know why I want to do that? Because it goes on in the churches all the time. All the time. Now watch what he says. Let not one who eats despise the one who abstains, And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. So this stronger, more mature brother says, there's nothing to an idol. There's nothing to an idol. Bring the meat on. Is what he's saying. Bring the meat on. Idols are nothing. They don't mean anything. Athena is nothing. Hercules is nothing. Zeus is nothing. And these gods are nothing. They are false. They don't exist. There is only one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bring me the steak. That's the vibe here. Bring me the steak. He says, those of you who are mature are not to despise, which mean to do this, to not despise. Do not ridicule, do not mock, do not make fun of, do not belittle, do not look down upon, and do not frown upon. The guy who wears a hat or has a glass of wine or eats meat or sings praise songs. Now, in the church, there are those who are mature that walk around looking down on those who feel that they're mature, that they walk around looking down on those who they feel are less mature or who they feel are weaker. And let me just say, the one who doesn't eat meat, and I want you to get this side of this, the one who doesn't eat meat feel like they are more mature. But on the other hand, the one who eats meat thinks they are more mature. And then he comes and he says this in verse 3, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. In other words, he says, listen, let me tell you something here. Those of you who are weaker and you are sitting in your judgment of brothers who have understood freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ, right? As I've been saved and I understand freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ, you're finding all this fault, all this negativism. Somebody say that for me. Negativism. All right. And you're all listing all of these rules. You're keeping all these rules that are breaking, that your brothers are breaking, that they should not do. He said, you stop sitting in judgment on them. I didn't say that. He did. He says, you stop sitting in judgment on them. That what I wear on my head does not reflect who is in my heart. And so the church, between the mature and the immature, we sit around, and this group looks down in disdain on these poor, pitiful people over here. You just don't know what, you know, you're looking at, you just don't know what I know. I'm more mature. Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, and these folks over here, on that side over there, are sitting in judgment of these people over here, and they're saying, you're not following the rules the way that you should. You're not following the rules the way you should or the way I believe that you should follow them. You're not doing what I, in my opinion, what you think you should do. Again, welcome to Open Door. This is tough stuff, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something. It's real. It's real, and it's where we live. But do you see what he says right here? He says, for God, at the end of verse 3, for God has welcomed him. Welcomed him. Both of them. He's welcomed both of them. God has welcomed, right? Look, God has welcomed. It's the same word that you find in verse 1 of chapter 14. It means, I receive to myself, I take to myself. That's what the word means. That's the word. I receive to myself, I take to myself. God welcomes them. He said, you are to take to yourself your weaker brother. So if I think that you're weak, if I think that you're a weak brother or sister in Jesus Christ, and you think I'm the weak one, right? God says that we are to take each other to ourselves, to welcome each other into the fellowship of believers. Listen, we are to take each other, mature and immature. We're to take each other. Why? Why? Because God has taken himself to you. Whether you're weak or strong, God has taken himself to you. Now watch, I want to get this. Here it's coming down. He's taken to himself the mature and he's taken himself the immature. Those who go to the movies, those who smoke a cigar like Spurgeon, those who eat meat and those who don't eat meat. Meaning this, God is for us. And he says in verse 4, look at this. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Oh, this is going to get good. You know why I'm saying that? Who are you to pass judgment on the servant? That's funny. And you think, Pastor, why is that funny? It's funny. It really is. Because let me ask you a question. And let me give you a little break right here. Let me ask you a question. Let me give you a little break right here. How many of you have ever watched Downton Abbey? I have. Downton Abbey. It's a series placed in the 1800s where Lord Grantham and the Lady Grantham, and they live at Downton in this massive castle, right? And it's in England, right? It's in this massive castle. And it's interesting what goes on upstairs, but the real story is what happens downstairs with all the servants. Now, what happens downstairs with all the servants is what's really fascinating. You've got the butler, you've got a housekeeper, you've got a chef, you've got the scullery maids, you've got kitchen boys, you've got housemaids, you've got all these maids going on, you've got the lady maids, you've got the footmen, you've got the governesses, you've got companions, you've got nursery maids, you've got maids, right? And then with the maids, you've got upper maids, you've got lower maids. And there was all this pecking order here. And all this pecking order, if you've watched Downton Abbey, all the fun takes place with the servants. It's where the big part of the story is everything goes on, is all the fun takes place is down in the servants in the lower quarters. Because you've got this servant correcting that servant, and this servant trying to show this servant where they went wrong. All while trying to elevate themselves, right? Act more mature. So this servant is tattling on that servant and going to Lord Grantham and Lady Grantham and what this one did and tell them about what this one did that and this one did this and what they're doing. They're tattling on each other. And all the servants, they're all downstairs trying to instruct and correcting and lead each other, all these servants, right? And the funny thing is, the only person who could do anything about it, anything at all, the person that can only person that can do anything about it is Lord Grantham. You say, well, I'm not sure I'm following this. Listen to me closely. The only one who can change anything is the master of the servant. I can't change you, and you can't change me. The only person that can change the servant is the master of the servant. Only he has the power to make the change that he wants changed in his servant. Well, okay. Question. What are you and I? What is our place in the kingdom of God? You know what Paul calls himself? You know what Paul calls himself? He calls himself a doulos. You know what doulos is? It's a what? It's a slave. Paul says, I am the slave of Jesus Christ. So question, what are you? What are you in the kingdom of God? Well, I can tell you, according to Scripture, you are the servant of Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can change you. And who here in this place is more mature than Paul? Who says, don't judge? So then, what are you trying to tell somebody else? What are you trying to tell somebody else what they're doing is wrong or right, or stop this or stop that or something else? Who are you to do that? I'm not talking about doctrinal issues. I'm not talking about morality issues. I'm not talking about commands. I'm talking about things like this that we're talking about today. Who are you to do that on things that are not backed up scripturally? Meat, jewelry, hats, wine, cigars, theater, music. Who are you to say, I'm waiting? You can't. Only the Master can do that. And who is our Master? The Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can do that. And only He can change that in a person. Me condemning a person is probably not going to change them. But you let God work in that person's life, live out the example. Live it out. You don't have to speak it out. Just live it out. What you say the other day, Steve and I was talking the other day, I think I used this already, but Steve uses a practice in work that he works because he can't go talk about Christ and the church and everything where he works. But he says, I can be kind. I can just show it. I can just live out kindness. I don't have to call it Christianity. I just do it because I am a Christian. They don't know the difference. And I think that's what Paul's saying. Be kind. Be kind. When God wants to change something in a person's life, He will. All this correction that we like to do in the body, all of this disdaining, listen, I don't know of any of this that's going on in our church. I'm not preaching this because I feel this is going. I don't. Now, am I saying that maybe somebody over here is talking over in the corner about, I'm not saying maybe that goes on, but I'm not preaching this because this is happening. I'm preaching this because this is where it comes in the Word of God. I don't think our church is guilty of this. I really, if it did, you know me by now, if I thought you were, I would tell you. I don't believe that that's the case in all of this. Well, let me give you the next thing. Point number two. You come back next week and I'll let you have it. I want to stop here because I don't know if this is going on, like I said, or not, but keep in mind, we're not talking about issues of doctrine or morality here. That's a whole different topic. It's a whole different subject. But these are things that you might believe we should do or shouldn't do, but does Scripture support it? It's again, you can tell me you don't like it, but tell me, show it to me. Listen, we've got enough of the world telling us that, right? We've got enough of the world telling us of what church should or should not be doing. But us in here, Ewans, the weak should not be judging the strong, and the strong should not be judging the weak. We should be encouragers, not judgers. Because in God's eyes, we are all His saints. God accepts all of His children, the weak and the strong. You come back next week, we'll dig a little deeper. For now, let's stand, all right? Let's pray. The altar is open. Father God, thank You, Lord, for allowing me to preach this word. Lord, although it's a hard word, a word, Lord, that doesn't sound joyful, but Lord, it really is. It is because, Lord, we want to live by Your word alone, not by another person's. We want to live by what your truth tells us, not what somebody else's opinion tells us. But Lord, we want to glorify you in all of our actions. And Lord, if I do cause someone to if what I'm doing is causing someone to stumble, whether it's sinful or not of what I'm doing, but if I'm causing someone to stumble, then it becomes a sin. So Lord, I just pray that you will mature us all into the believers that you want us to be individually. And Lord, that we will always continue to bring glory and honor to you, to your church, to your name. And Lord, that when people look at us, no matter what, they will find you. And if I know that I'm doing something that offends somebody else, that I would have enough maturity to stop it. Lord, have your way in this altar call. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray that the Lord has blessed you with his word. And as you go here, go there and let them see Jesus. Amen. I love you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Open our eyes.